Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck.
It's Sadie's night. I poured myself a teeny tiny bit of chilled red wine.
It really is like the smallest little tiny bit.
Yeah, I don't do that, but it sounded so delicious and, you know, hashtag self-care or whatever. Just have four fluid milliliters of wine every once in a while. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Four Loko. Have a Four Loko. Hashtag self-care.
Once I'm done with my 4 milliliters of chilled red wine, I've got a Four Loko lined up behind it. Yes. So it's going to get, what was that, party rock? It's going to be party rock tonight.
You know what else is loco?
Murder.
This story.
Oh, God. Take it away, Sadie. What do we got tonight?
This is the torture and murder of Terry Neely.
Blah, blah. I hate it already.
Yeah. Yep. At 5 a.m. on August 5th, 2009, dispatchers received a 911 call after someone found a burning trash can in the parking lot of the Covenant of Grace Church in Phoenix, Arizona. When firefighters arrived to put out the fire, they realized in horror that inside the trash can were human remains.
Oh, yikes.
Mm-hmm. Police were called to the scene, and the body was determined to belong to a man, but because of the terrible condition of his body, it was impossible to identify any of his other features. Mm. The man had been partially dismembered and put into the trash can before he was lit on fire.
Oh, God.
The evidence at the scene showed that he had been dumped at the church and had been murdered at a different location. An autopsy would show the victim had died in a horrific way and had been tortured before being killed.
Nope.
So a little trigger warning. It's pretty gruesome. He had multiple blunt force injuries to his head, including having a 3-inch screw impaled through his forehead into his brain.
No.
He was stabbed more than 50 times, including a shallow cut to his throat. Oh, Courtney, you're not going to like it.
I don't like any. I don't like if it's teeth or nails.
Yeah.
Teeth or nails. No.
All of his teeth had been crudely removed.
Oh, my God.
No. And he was found with a cord from a television set wrapped tightly around his neck.
Good God.
The coroner found that most of these wounds had started healing, meaning he'd been alive while all of this happened to him.
Mm-mm.
They determined his cause of death was from strangulation. Authorities couldn't use his dental records to identify him because he had no teeth in his mouth. Even though his hands were badly burned, just enough of his fingerprints were still intact so they could put together some partial fingerprints.
Boy.
No. They were able to use them to identify their victim as 46-year-old Terry Neely. Terry Neely was born on October 21st, 1962. He was a quadriplegic who could use his legs. I know. Who could use his legs, but for only a short amount of time.
Oh my God.
He was described as a friendly man who was easy to get along with. He had a developmental disability that caused him to struggle with problem solving and good decision making.
Mm-hmm.
Before his death, Terry had been living in an assisted living facility and got around with the use of his motorized wheelchair. Ugh. Police were able to obtain security footage from the assisted living facility that showed Terry leaving in his wheelchair around 8 p.m. on August 2nd, 3 days before his body had been found.
Oh no, 3 days.
3 days. The wheelchair had not been at the scene of the crime. They hoped it would lead them to their killer. Mm-hmm. They asked the other residents of the assisted living facility and neighbors if they knew where Terry had gone, but no one knew. He had no known enemies who would want to hurt him. As word spread of Terry's murder, tips began to come in. When someone called saying that they had found an abandoned motorized wheelchair at an apartment complex near Terry's home, police hurried to investigate. They confirmed it belonged to Terry and started questioning the residents of the apartments in the complex. One resident told police that in the early morning hours of August 5th, he had noticed smoke coming from his neighbor's apartment.
Ugh.
When he knocked on the door to see what was smoking, 33-year-old Angela Simpson answered. As they talked, he saw a City of Phoenix trash can in the kitchen and realized Simpson's friend, who was known as, quote, Cracker, was also there at the time. They asked to borrow his car, and he agreed. When Simpson brought the car back a few hours later, she told the neighbor she had, quote, killed Neely and cut him up. Then they threatened to kill him if he said anything about what had taken place.
Well, there you go. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, wow. Real quick.
This is one of those. Not even just, he's not here. He went home. I'll give him the keys. Just straight confession.
Yep. Yep. Jeez. We did this. Don't tell anybody.
Wow.
Police were able to obtain a search warrant for Simpson's apartment. And I read some things said it was her apartment. Some said it was just somewhere she frequented, but... Uh-huh. Regardless. Once inside, they noticed the carpet had been torn up, and there was very minimal furniture, just a chair and a floor-length mirror.
Oh my god, that is bone-chilling.
Yeah, yes. They found needle-nose pliers, a gallon of Great Value brand bleach, and a lot of blood.
No.
I know. Police gathered samples of the blood for DNA comparison. Luckily, Simpson had been arrested earlier that day with her friend Cracker, who, just on a side note, he happens to have a very large neck tattoo across his neck that says Cracker. I mean, we'll post pictures, but just in case.
She was with a guy named Cracker. This uh-huh. guy named Cracker with a literal cracker tattoo on his neck?
Oh, yeah, that yes, guy. Yep, it's like, no, it wasn't me, it was the other guy. So this Joker's name was, his real name was Edward McFarland. They had been charged with armed robbery just a few hours before police wanted to question them for Terry's murder.
Uh-huh.
So little is known about Angela Simpson. She isn't the type to talk about her personal life. She was born on November 29th, 1975, and had four children before she was arrested.
Boy.
She had a rough upbringing, with most of the members of her family spending time in and out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
She admitted to having mental health problems and says they started when she was 10, but won't go into details about what the troubles are. She started using drugs when she was a teen and committed petty crimes and started working as a sex worker to support her habit. None of her four children ever lived with her, and she has spent her adult life in and out of prison for trespassing, aggravated assault, carjacking, and robbery.
Uh-huh.
So when police interviewed Simpson, she told them she would confess to the crimes in exchange for a candy bar.
What is happening?
Yep. She laughed as she described the murder and explained that she and Terry were acquaintances but hadn't known each other very well. When they would hang out, Terry would brag to her about being a, quote, snitch for the CIA, and said he put multiple people in jail. There's no proof of this actually being true. You won't be surprised. And local police said he never worked for them as an informant.
Oh, shocking.
Right. Simpson said this had infuriated her, so she decided to kill him.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. She lured Terry into her apartment with the promise of sex and drugs. Once he was inside, she started beating him over the head with a tire iron and then kept him alive for 3 days while she tortured him.
What the fuck?
She said she made him sit in front of a mirror so he could watch as she beat, stabbed, impaled him with a screw and pulled his teeth out.
That is some next level horror.
Mm-hmm. She said her only regret was that she hadn't kept him alive longer.
Oh my god.
Once Terry was dead, she dismembered him enough so he would fit inside the trash can, and then she had McFarland help her get the trash can into the borrowed car, where she then disposed of Terry's body in the parking lot after lighting it on fire. The DNA collected at her apartment would eventually come back from the lab as a match to Terry, corroborating Simpson's story. Authorities arrested Edward McFarland as well and charged him with abandonment or concealment of a dead body and hindering prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
And I read here and there little bits of him. He said that he was more involved in the crime, that he helped kill Terry.
And really?
But then said he didn't. And she says he never did. He wasn't a part of it at all.
Uh-huh.
And so they couldn't find any evidence to connect him directly to the murder. And so he was never charged with it.
Interesting. It definitely sounds like something that would be hard for a woman to do by herself.
Yep. Yeah. So in March of 2012, 2.5 years after her arrest, Simpson pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility for parole.
Shocking.
Yeah. Edward McFarland also pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 20 years.
Wow.
After being sentenced, Simpson agreed to sit for a jailhouse interview with a reporter from a local news station out of Phoenix. Her honesty and the blunt way she answered the reporter's questions is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play it for you now. And I want to do a quick trigger for racial slurs, including the N-word.
Angela, I've seen previous interviews and I've with the police, and one of our colleagues talked to you once upon a time. You're very upfront.
Pretty much.
About talking about this killing.
Right.
You murdered this man.
Yes.
You tortured him.
Of course.
There is no ambiguity and there is nothing you want us... In court today, you said you're not here to pretend to be remorseful.
Of course not. Why would I do that?
Are you remorseful?
Not at all.
Why?
Why would I be?
Well, why did this man deserve to die? You claimed he was a snitch.
Well,
what proof do you have of that?
He told me he was a snitch.
He told you.
On many occasions. But that really doesn't matter. Why did you guys want to kill me? Phoenix wanted to kill me. What's the difference? Everybody has a reason to kill. My reason might not be good to you, but your reason wasn't good to me, so.
The incident, can you tell me anything about what happened during those 3 days while you were...
What do you mean?
You know, it's...
I took him to my house, walked him down the street. I don't know why the media acts like the motherfucker couldn't walk. He walked very well. Walked him upstairs, kicked his ass, and killed him.
And again, your belief is that he was a snitch because he
right.
told you... you claimed that that other people had been killed in that same part. You had killed other people. Have you killed other
no,
people?
No, I've never killed anyone else.
So that was something, just talk.
Right.
How do you feel about spending the rest of your life in prison?
You know, I got a lot of family in prison, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I got many sisters in prison. I can't wait to see them. It's really not that much of a punishment to be sentenced to spend my life with my family.
And you don't want to talk about your past, but your lawyer said that, you know what, they in sentencing you, the judge should bear in mind that you had a really
right.
tough life.
I started being hospitalized at 10 years old. I have a mental history from 10 years old until present, so, yeah.
When you say mental history, I mean... Do you care that anyone feels sorry for you? Do you want anybody?
Feel sorry for me.
Yeah. Should the people who are watching this say because she had a bad childhood?
Of course not.
Because she has mental illness?
Of course not, no.
That we should feel some sympathy for
no.
you?
No.
You would not have that?
I want no sympathy, no.
Then do you care what anybody thinks
of no.
Angela Simpson and what
no.
you have done?
I don't.
It's, again, your candor... I've interviewed people who have committed murders before, and usually they sort of prevaricate or they this or that. You're about as direct as it gets.
Right.
Why is that?
It's only fair. I expect you to be the same way.
Okay. Do you think that it was fair today? It was justice in that courtroom?
No, I don't.
Why?
I should have gotten the death penalty.
Did you want the death penalty?
No. I prefer to spend my life with my sisters. But, yeah, I do believe that would have been justice.
So you deserve death penalty, but you're glad that you got what you got.
Right.
Because you,
right.
When you say your sisters, you're talking about women you know in prison.
Right.
Okay. And have you found that, that there is some bonding and that you have made friends here that... will be of some comfort to you when you're in
Most
prison.
Most definitely, yes.
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah.
What has the experience been like here in this facility?
Horrible.
Really?
Yes, it's terrible. Jail is awful. They don't, they have no, well, they have no compassion. They don't give us the things we need here.
Will prison to you, to the your understanding?
I certainly hope so,
yes. Have you done time in prison?
No.
So you're hoping that it will be a better existence?
Yes,
for you.
Definitely.
You're a young woman, 36 years old. You could be there a long time.
Right. Right.
But your belief is that you deserve the death penalty.
Definitely. Well, I believe God. That's what God says. Unless God is wrong, which I doubt, so.
And would God would has told you that, or you just believe that?
I believe
an eye
that.
For an eye.
Right. Right. I expected to die for this.
What insights can you give us to you? What would you have anyone who may hear this interview know about you?
There's really nothing. People are going to believe what they want to believe. Judge the way they want to judge, just like I do, so.
Yeah.
So be it.
Why did you feel like you were in a position to be the judge and jury in Terry Neely's life?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm really not trying to be get
right.
you angry, but I want to see, you say, I killed this guy, he deserved
right.
to die, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's there, you're up
right.
front. I want to know if you have any concerns about what put you in that position to do that to them.
It was just too much. The things he talked about, it was too much.
Do you believe him? I mean, lots of people go around claiming I'm a snitch or make themselves...
Really? You don't say.
Well, I think they talk about law. I know people come, I've got associations with law enforcement. You know, I've got this, I'm a friend with this
Do person. You happen to have a list of those people?
They name drop, well, maybe in the circle, but you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
People say lots of things to make themselves sort of look...
Well, he picked the wrong nigger to say that to. If he wanted to brag about putting so many people in prison, you picked the wrong person.
And that's what did it to him. That's why you...
What, the bragging?
The bragging
oh, yeah.
about putting people in prison.
Right.
People you knew?
No. No, I don't know any of them.
Okay. Do you believe him? Do you think he really was a snitch?
Oops, if he wasn't. Yes, I believe he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have family?
I do.
From an adoptive family or
I have four children.
You have four children.
I do have four children.
Where are they?
El Mirage.
What is how are they doing? How is it for you to be separated from them?
I don't want to talk about my children. I can't do that.
Yeah. Is there a message? Is there a bottom line or a lesson to be learned from the story of Angela Simpson?
There's a bottom line to everything. But
what is the bottom line to this story?
Whatever people want it to be. If I, it doesn't what matter
do
what
want
I
it
say.
To be,
I don't know.
Insights that you don't regret killing this guy.
I don't regret killing him, no. I regret the fact that my co-defendants found it necessary to divulge so much information to the detectives. I regret that. They were people I really cared about. And I regret that they were near me or around me at any point.
And then helped prosecutors.
Helped the prosecution, correct.
You aggravated those people.
Definitely, because they didn't know, they weren't actually with me during any of my crimes. So for them to say that they were to try to get lesser sentences was a little heartbreaking for me.
So friends of yours lied to prosecutors and lied to police.
Correct.
Dropped the dime on you.
Correct.
They snitched on you.
Correct.
If you could, would you do to them what you did to
no,
Terry?
No, I would not.
Because you still have some relationship with them? Or?
Well, no, but they were, I had claimed a bond with them at one point, so I wouldn't be able to avenge that.
Yeah, yeah. Did you act completely alone in that?
Yes, part? Definitely.
So nobody else helped?
No. Totally alone.
help me understand. The crimes of passion or something, and, you know, in the heat of the moment, but to spend 3 days driving nails into a guy's head and pulling his teeth out.
Right.
Why?
I found it necessary.
Did you find it pleasurable or exciting, or was this just
necessary?
Necessary.
Right.
So this was more like a business-like proposition. You were doing something that you felt a job that needed to be done.
Right.
Really?
Right.
And whatever came into your head, I'm going to drive a nail into his head, or was this just a symptom of what was at hand in that apartment?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Your moment, I'd like to, because we've got to get run back, and right. I want to get what you say on television, and I'm grateful that you would be willing to talk to us, and I wish you the best under these circumstances.
Thank you.
What would you have the world know? You're a fascinating, you're sort of an interesting character, because, you know, first of all, women generally don't commit crimes this heinous.
Right.
You know, this is usually the domain of men.
That's unfortunate.
You think more women?
Oh, yeah, equal opportunity, definitely.
And I know you're being sort of a smart aleck to me.
Slightly sarcastic.
But but seriously, I mean, in some ways, I've been covering murder and mayhem and covered serial killers to petty shoot 'em ups. And you don't meet many women who commit the kind of calculated, long-term murder that you committed with this guy. And you don't meet many people who are willing to say, I did it, and you know what? Deal with it.
Right. That's the way it should be, in my opinion.
You seem like you're sort of just, I'm sort of almost self-righteous about it. I did this, and I did. Do you think you did the right thing by killing this guy?
Of course, definitely.
Other than shooting his mouth off, what else did he do that you know of?
That's what he got done for. He's white trash. Somebody had to take it out. That's it.
Was there a racial component to it?
Oh, there's always a racial component.
Okay. And what do you mean by that?
I'm not going to elaborate on that at all.
Okay, but the fact that you're a black woman and he's a white guy, that factored into your killing him?
Yeah. I wouldn't kill another black individual.
Okay. Would you, if you had that moment to live over again?
I'd have kept him alive a week.
But you would have still tortured him and killed him.
Oh, I had to torture him for a week, yeah, instead of 3 days, definitely.
So your only regret is that the torture didn't go on anymore.
Right, and I regret not killing my other victim. I should have killed him, too. I just didn't have time. I had to go somewhere.
And tell me who that other victim was.
Joseph Van Tress for the armed robbery. Yeah, I should have killed him, but I had to go.
Will you kill again?
If the opportunity arises, I hope so. Okay, we're done.
Are you done?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Angela.
Good shit, dude. That's going to be crazy, isn't it? That's going to be wicked. Make it look good, please. Oh, you're going to put this on, too? Don't put the ending on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honestly, best wishes to you. And
right.
Ladies, thank you.
Thank you.
Very real. I honestly can't.
Stop me again. This guy is incorrigible.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm incorrigible.
All right, I'm not you.
He's incorrigible. We're both incorrigible.
Right.
Best wishes to you.
Right.
Thank you.
Reach out if we're looking.
I have other names.
All right. Well.
So. What the fuck? First of all, I highly recommend that you all watch that interview. Those are some Charles Manson eyes, if I have ever
seen
them.
First of all, yes.
Holy darkness of evil. What the fuck? I mean, it's like there is a total disconnect. There's like 5 disconnects, you know? Mm-hmm. The soul doesn't match the mouth, doesn't match the brain, doesn't match the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She's so fucking smart.
Mm-hmm.
She's so articulate. And then the ending?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's all I really want to talk about. I mean, the whole interview is so crazy, but then the ending, she just flips a switch.
It's like Primal Fear for real.
Yes.
I mean, she's not trying to hide the fact that she did it, clearly.
Right.
But she knows what she's doing. She knows she's giving a chilling interview. She knows she's being, like, pervasive and sort of vague.
Mm-hmm.
And
creepy and, like, over the top.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. She is 100% putting on a show in that interview.
100%. Mm-hmm. I also noticed when he said, did you do it by yourself? She like looked down into the left. Like she did a total tell that she was lying.
Mm-hmm.
When she's like, nope, I did it all by myself. Nobody helped me or mm-hmm. whatever. No, but the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah! Oh my God. Like what? Is it? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing. This is all just my guess. It feels, you know, a little bit like a psychopath. And also super narcissistic.
Yes.
I feel like Terry was a total pawn for her show. She wanted to make a splash. And boy, did she.
Yes. Well, and she says, yeah, of course it was racial. Yes. Of course it was. You know, so... Clearly she wanted to punish a white guy. Yeah,
I think it's either punish a white guy or just make it about race, because that'll get more headlines and more attention.
Good call. Mm-hmm. Or both, probably both.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about it here in a second too, about what I think about the racial card being played.
Right.
Yeah, because old McFarlane there, he was a skinhead.
Right. No.
Yeah, so it's not about race. It's not a race card. If she's willing to be BFFs with Cracker.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. No, Terry was just an easy target.
Yeah, disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly leave. A little delusional. Yeah, an easy prey. She knew exactly how to get him into her apartment. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That is so chilling.
So fucked up.
She is such a baddie.
Yeah, I know. So I picked this case because of that interview.
Yep.
And I was like, oh boy, let's get into this. And then there wasn't a fucking thing to be found about her or Terry. And it's just a problem. So I read, I don't know if it was a blog or I forget what part of what I was reading was talking about how she is trying to be like an Aileen Wuornos, type.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was interesting because that's definitely, I get that sort of vibe. Like, but I think Aileen was
authentic.
Right. Yeah. But that's sort of who she was channeling to be.
Uh-huh.
Like this crazy, the whole talk about pedophiles, killing snitches and pedophiles. And you aren't a hero in this. You didn't do something good for the world.
No.
You tortured and murdered a disabled man.
Yep, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Aileen Wuornos was fully enveloped by her, what she was doing mm-hmm. and why she was doing mm-hmm. it. And it was a big old trauma response mm-hmm. and mental health issues, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fully authentic. And mm-hmm. this girl, man, wow. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so after this interview, or I don't even actually know if it was after, but she would go on to say that she had... that this wasn't the only time that she'd killed someone.
Right.
But she wouldn't say how many other victims there were. And then uh-huh. later she retracted the statement. I think that maybe was in the interview, wasn't it?
She did mention, He said, you said you hurt this one or killed this one. And she said it's not true.
Right. It's just talk. So, interesting. So sort of a side note. In May of this year, a TikTok, quote, acting challenge started. Like a trend started.
Uh-huh.
Using the audio from Simpson's television interview.
Oh my God.
So in these videos, you can hear Simpson say, quote, he told me he was a snitch on many occasions. I took him to my house, walked him down the street. I don't know why the media acts like the motherfucker couldn't walk. He walked very well, walked him upstairs, kicked his ass and killed him. And then you hear the male interviewer reply, do you think he was really a snitch? And then Simpson replies, oops, if he wasn't. yes, I believe he was.
That is so funny because I saw somebody doing that yesterday and I was like, what is this audio? This is so random. And then I didn't put it together today, but that's what it was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like, yes. This is weird. I don't know what this is from. Must be some Gen Z movie that they all love or something. Oh, my God. What the fuck? Of all the audio, of all the clips, of all the things, and of even of that interview, that's what I don't. Get it. I don't understand these trends.
No, well, not that one. And I mean, I think in the comments, people get called out like, this is an actual murderer saying these things about an actual person. And so I was thinking, well, this trend has probably died out because it's fucked up. And I looked today to see, and oh no. No.
Of course not.
It is
going strong.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Train is out of the station.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yep. In the TikTok videos, you see the people mouth along to Simpson's interview with expressions to match their voice, which is just gross. I don't want to watch people act on TikTok.
Yep.
Some creators even captioned the footage, hashtag murder. Actress Krista Allen, who played a young Jennifer Garner in 13 Going on 30, took part in the challenge. She has a following of over 1 million people, and her videos have amassed nearly 400,000 views. Those, she has two of them that she did with that audio.
Wow.
In between those two, they've reached about 400,000 views. So, besides the TikTok video.
Yeah. Which is so, just bizarre.
Yeah, it really is. I already talked about how there was a complete lack of background information on Terry and Simpson, and it seems like when the victim's life isn't one that would be seen in sympathetic light, it isn't shared as much. Yep. Right. So I'm just assuming that Terry had a fucking hard life. Started hard, it ended hard, and
the hardest.
Yeah, we just don't get to know about it.
Yeah.
It's also a bummer that a hard life equals unimportant.
Yeah.
Because
disposable.
I feel like he was used only to tell the story of his horrific death and not to honor his life in any way.
Yeah.
I even found a television interview with a friend of Terry's, and they chose only the clips where he talked about how terrible his death was and didn't share anything about who Terry was or who he had been to his friend.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was so strange. I was like, okay, finally, this guy knew him. He'll talk to him. Like, they'll ask, who was Terry? Nope. No, he just says he was too sad. He couldn't go to the hearings because it made him too sad and his death was so horrific and how mad he was at Simpson for doing it. And then the clip ended, and that was it.
Oh, my God.
I was also struck by headlines like, quote, Black woman dismembers disabled white man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's a fucking problem.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that headline helps no one. It doesn't further any causes. It doesn't honor any victims. It doesn't fucking solve any future issues. It's just clickbait bullshit.
Yep. Yep. Crazy black woman killing the poor old white guy. It's disgusting.
Yep.
Also, these articles fail to mention that Simpson's accomplice, Cracker, I already said that, was a white skinhead.
Yes, big fucking surprise, but my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No mention of that in there anywhere. And I really do think he probably was part of
helped.
It. Yeah.
Definitely.
There was some, again, it's all speculation. I think there was a Reddit thread that said that there was a rumor that Cracker was Simpson's pimp, and that something went wrong, and he was the one that killed Terry, and she took the fall for it because of their relationship. But there's nothing to corroborate that.
Right. Regardless, it seems like a lot for her to carry that out on her own without some sort of help.
No, and I wonder a lot about, like, they didn't hear him scream, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's an apartment complex. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's such a fuck. It's so sad.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying that somebody, this woman, could get to that point to do that thing, to give that interview, to be that person, to just revel in misery and chaos. It's like the fact that there are human beings with that inside of them roaming this earth is incomprehensible. Like, how? How and why and where and knowing there's no way to stop it.
Well, and the fact that we haven't completely dissected it, you know,
that's what
like
I mean.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, how have we not just sat down and pulled this a piece by piece to figure out how and why and who and all of it? Like,
yeah,
nope, she just did it, and now we're moving on with our lives. It's just baffling.
Well, she's so diabolical, too, that it would be very hard, I would imagine, to pull the layers of that onion back. Mm-hmm. And maybe there are none. Maybe she's just bad. Maybe her life was, like, middle class and fine.
Yeah, I don't think it was, but yes.
No, I don't think so either, but, yes. You know, it would be very hard to know if what she was telling you was true based on that interview.
Totally, yes.
You know, she's a full-blown psychopath, full-blown sociopath, narcissist. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing, and I'm dying to know why she does it, but I think she just does. I think that there are some people who just do that. And maybe it was childhood events that led up to her brain breaking to the point that she could do that and be that person. That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she was just born that way. That's what I want to know.
Like, right.
I know that's what every brain doctor out there wants to know. And if they had figured that out, we would have some sort of better solve for it. But
yep.
Oh my God. I hope in my lifetime we get to figure that out, because
I hope so too.
I have to fucking know.
Yeah. I read a blog and they said that they tried to write her in prison and she responded, but they couldn't get her to say anything of substance at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But she did manage to get married in prison. Somebody married her.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
Of course she did. My beautiful, eligible, successful friends can't find a fucking date, but
Angela gets
married.
Yeah, yep, she does. So I would love to end the story with a heartfelt quote from Terry's family and friends talking about how justice was served and how much they miss him. But apparently Terry's life didn't matter enough to the media to bother.
Yep.
I'm so sorry for this, and I'm so sorry he had to die in such a senseless, horrific way. My heart is with him and those that loved him.
Same.
Fucking bullshit.
Bullshit.
So sorry, Terry.
Such a sensational case. When I saw her face, I've definitely seen her face before.
Yeah.
You know, I know that this is a known case, that it's, you know, you give that interview, people are going to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's still not anything about him.
Yeah.
Or who he was.
Not at all. I mean, like, nothing. What I read to you is all I could find. I was just shocked in general. I went through the newspaper archives. I couldn't, there was no obituary, you know, and he could just be a lost soul with really no long-term relationships, but I don't know because nobody will tell me.
Right. You know? There's got to be something good about him. He liked to feed the pigeons. I mean, seriously. Something, you know, yeah. Something about the poor person.
Yep.
Everybody's got something.
Yep.
That's very disturbing. I hate everything about it.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. Terry's story just makes me want to honor, you know, when we talk about victims, we want them to be in a positive light or share the things that were important to their families and friends. And but I also think that it's important to share the hard, bad stuff, too. It's okay to be human,
you know,
and to have a life of struggle. And it does not diminish your worth whatsoever. You still deserve to be loved and to be honored and cherished and through that struggle, you know. Like, I think it's bullshit. I would really like to know what his life was like, good and bad. Give it to me. I'll take all of it.
Absolutely. Well, and we had the daughter of Suzanne Carno reach out to us, and we're going to interview her next week for a Patreon episode. We covered the case on Patreon, and I'm very interested to see what she has to say. But, you know, her father was murdered, and her mother's in prison for it, and she's like, you know, the story you told is not an accurate story. It's a story that's out there, and she's like working to get her mother's story out there more. But then, you know, thinking about the kids and how little information is out there about the kids and how fucking victimized they are and how there are so many victims and so little attention given. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but so little attention given to them, so little care or thought. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all just so wrapped up in selling headlines, solving cases, that, like, what really matters gets overlooked on far too many occasions. And, I'm 100% sure we're guilty of that, too.
Absolutely.
You know, and what we're doing, you know, as well-intentioned as you can possibly be, there's just no way you're going to get it right, especially with this format, with the, like, conversational kind of jokey thing that we do. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a little disrespectful no matter what, and we are aware and acknowledge that. And yeah, it's definitely something that's been on my mind. And this mm-hmm. case is a really good example of how we get it wrong.
Yep.
Not we, you and I, we had nothing to do with the Angela Simpson Terry case, but we,
it's a society,
royal we, yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. So I know it's,
do you know how we get it right? Gabby Petito, man.
Oh man.
Man. Oh, I mean, man. We don't need to go into detail about this case because everybody that is on the earth at this moment knows everything about it. But kudos to the fucking YouTubers and TikTokers mm-hmm. that just solved
it's so crazy.
This case in record time.
Yes. Yes. That is
incredible.
I know. We all need to go be like influencers so that our listeners will be like, oh my God. So I know what, she doesn't usually capitalize her T's and now she is. So she's dead. And then they're like,
I mean,
solved.
Seriously, it's yeah. all, it's just so tragic. Mm-hmm. I mean, deeply, deeply tragic that she's gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all, of course, hoped that she wasn't, but knew that she probably was. And confirming that she is just so devastating. But to have like an army of people solving your loved one's case. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Well done, everyone.
Seriously. Yep. The fact that a YouTuber was driving through this remote park happened upon the van. It's just like,
it gives me chills.
Holy shit. I'm glad somebody was looking out for her.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands of someone's. Yeah. That's the best you can hope for, really. You yep. know, that many people care about you, that they figure it out and hopefully bring whoever, wink, wink, did it to justice. Mm-hmm. So our hearts definitely go out to her family. Hard. That on the flip side, everybody knows about what mm-hmm. this tragedy that your family is enduring. So that can't be, I just can't begin to imagine. But
yeah,
yep. I would hope that this brings them some peace that so many fucking people care.
Big time. Yep. And let's spread that love and care to all the victims.
All the victims.
All the missing people.
Yes. Big time. Well, that's cool. This is a fun week.
It always is, Court. It always is.
I know, but lately it's like heavy duty.
Yeah.
But the you only know. Thing that'll bust us out of the deep, dark depression that we
dig ourselves into every
ourselves
week.
In mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is names.
Woo-hoo!
Got a heap of names because you guys are the best and you keep on keeping them on.
Yeah, you do.
There's something called the Cox Sexy Test.
Wait, say that again.
Cox Sexy Test. Cox Sexy. Cox Sexy.
Cox Sexy said, Test.
Cox Sexy. COXSACKSIE.
Wow.
Cock sexy. And they say sexy. I mean, sounds sexy, yeah, but it's sexy. They said it has nothing to do with either of those parts of the body. So not the cocks or the sex.
Or the sex.
Or the sex. I mean, maybe, yeah, I don't.
Well, it's a cock sexy test.
I don't know.
Fuck.
Let's just leave it be part of our imagination.
Somebody
right?
tell me. Yeah, somebody will tell
me. Let's just stay impregnated with wonder, like Pete Holmes
yes.
says. There's a lawyer named Sue. You. yep, she had a destiny, and she fulfilled it.
She did. That's Courtney's new name.
Sue you. Sue yeah. You. Mine will be... Amanda Pate. Amanda Pate. I'm going to emancipate from you. I'll be Amanda Pate. It's Amanda Pates. There you go.
That's a good one.
Thanks. There was a wedding announcement for Joseph McDonald, who married Elizabeth Berger. A McDonald Burger.
I hope they hyphenated.
Some towns. Boring, Oregon. Which
yes.
again, we've never thought of Boring, Oregon
no.
before.
Love Boring.
There's Booger Hole, West Virginia.
Of course course there is.
How can that be true? How can there be a booger hole?
It's 4-year-olds. They let the 4-year-old pick.
There's a ding-dong Texas. And I said, and with Governor Abbott at the helm, that seems to fit more.
Yes, it does. It's where he was born.
I hail from ding-dong Texas. Yeah, no shit. We know. There's a Bitter End, Tennessee. That's where I hail from. Just kidding. I'm pretty happy. But this is definitely where I hail from. Pee-Pee Creek, Ohio. Same 4-year-old who totally. Named Ding Dong, Texas, named Pee-Pee Creek, Ohio.
No, Booger Hole. It was Booger Hole.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Ding Dong.
And Ding Dong. Hunter Pepper. Did you find Hunter Pepper?
I did.
I think Sadie felt very proud of herself.
I did. Hunter it was Pepper. Like a. It was like one of those TikTok about. I follow people that are like calling out anti-vaxxers who are like, COVID's no big deal, and then they get sick or die. And one of these guys is like a super anti-vaxxer, and I don't think he's dead. But his name was Hunter Pepper.
Hunter Pepper.
And I kept giggling. I was watching this really sad, fucked up story. And I was thinking about how that's Dr. Pepper's. Dr. Pepper's
stepbrother. Like, half brother.
Like, yeah, his like cousin who likes to hunt. I don't
know. Oh my God.
I had this whole thing going on. Thank you, Lexapro.
Hunter Pepper, you know, he's like, they just call him a doctor. But
he's a redneck like, hunter guy.
He lives in like Arkansas, and Dr. Pepper hails from New England, but Hunter Pepper lives in like Arkansas. He's a Hunter Pepper. I get it.
Yeah.
There's a park in Tallahassee. That's the Dorothy B. Oven Park. I found that.
I love that.
I know, Dorothy B. Oven. I'm assuming the B stands for? Bread. Did you say bitch?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Dorothy Bitch but. Oven. popping right out of the bitch oven. Fresh. Woo! That's me. Oh, my God. Christian Todd Rex wrote.
What the fuck?
I think your husband said that to me, and said, sounds like something Scooby-Doo would say.
Oh, my God.
So totally true. Christian Todd Rex wrote.
It's like what Scooby would make up his own name. Rex wrote.
Yeah, Rex wrote. Oh, my God, this one. Jack DeWood. Jack D. Wood.
God.
Jack DeWood.
That's what my if I was a male stripper, like lumberjack character, that would be my stage name.
Jack DeWood is taking the stage.
Oh God, somebody take that, play. Run with it.
Old Town Road would be the only thing you ever dance to. I would love to talk about Lil Nas X for 1 second.
Oh God.
What an angel down from heaven. What a fucking masterpiece.
He's such an angel.
He's a miracle.
He really
is. Miracle. The fact that he is like the biggest star in the world. Mm-hmm. He's an openly, very openly black gay man.
Ugh.
All the hats off to you. I take them off, and underneath every hat is another hat, and they just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I do it into infinity because you deserve it. You brave, beautiful little genius.
Yep.
Hats is off, all of them.
I was watching his new video last night, just like, full of, I feel like he's my child. I'm so full of pride.
Same. Same. Oh,
makes me cry. Yeah.
Me too.
Yes.
It's just.
Yep.
Everything about him is a revelation, and I'm so fucking proud of him.
Me too. Is that all the names?
No, back to what's important.
Yeah.
Other than like massive leaps and fucking civil rights and visibility and awareness. And, Marsha Faye Cook, Laguna Teal.
What?
Marsha Faye Cook, Laguna Teal.
Where did that come from?
It's a full last name. I think Ryan sent it to me.
Oh my God.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry if it was somebody else, but.
I'm giving him all the credit.
Donald Licker. And last but not least, I think this must be in LA. I've seen this a couple times lately, and somebody sent it to me. Burger, She Wrote. Hooray! Hip, hip, hooray, yes. The Burger, She Wrote.
Someone sent us on Instagram a Sandwich Police cop car, the town of Sandwich, which I did not know existed. First of all, I'm moving there.
No, I said it last week. Sandwich, did you? Massachusetts. Fuck.
Sorry,
yeah, Courtney. That's fine. Tune me out. I get it.
Yeah, I have to stop listening at some point.
Just sounds like this.
You're right. We did talk about Sandwich.
Yep.
Yeah, we totally did.
I passed
100%. Right.
But yes, but then somebody fucking spots Sandwich Police right after I talk about it. Sends it to us.
Yes. I didn't even think about how they would have to have a police force because I forgot you told me about it initially.
Well, and then one of our listeners and I went back and forth in Instagram DMs about how, yes, you should police sandwiches. No mayo? Mm-mm. Sir, you're coming with me. I cannot let you eat that dry ass sandwich.
No way.
That is a direct violation. Statute 4, code C.
I'm over here picturing myself like shoveling the sandwich in my mouth before the officer gets down the road so he doesn't give me a citation.
Cite you.
Oh,
too thick or too thin.
Totally.
God, remember that place in college that served those sandwiches that were like as big as your head and you'd have to like unhinge your jaw and you'd get your mouth all cut up on them? They're glorious sandwiches, but
impossible.
What are
to
you
eat.
Trying to do to these people?
Yeah, I don't know.
That is... What? Am I supposed to scoop out the middle and save it for later? Like, what is this?
Just get whatever.
Sandwich police.
Yeah.
That. Oh, God, I got a code 9 in Eureka, Arcata, California.
Oh, shit. Well, that was some good stuff. That's good.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Per usual.
Well, I think that's what we got.
We got what we got, and we gave it to you, and you do with it what you will.
Yeah,
and
good luck. Good luck with that, all of that stuff.
God, please go watch that video, though. My God, please go watch. Good Lordy.
Yeah, even if you just, like, watch the first few minutes and then skip through the middle and then be sure to watch the end. She just, like, whoop. So fucked up.
Primal Fear's it. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Kevin Spacey's it. Kaiser Sose's it.
Yeah.
Also Kevin Spacey's it, because we all thought he was good. Nope. Turns out he's not. Nope. Anyway. In the meantime, go find us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at They Will Kill. You can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com, and you can go to our website, theywillkill.com.
Hey guys, rate, and rate us, and review and subscribe to us, please.
You can rate 4 times, it's just going to the same place, but if you want to rate, review, and subscribe to us, that would be just
fine. Like a seizure, I guess.
Max Headroomed it.
Totally. Hey, AJ Bergans, thank you for your music!
Thank you so much!
And remember...
Lil Nas X, go listen to Montero. It's solid fucking album. Watch his videos. I think maybe he'll bring music videos back, which would be a phenomenal thing. Yes. Like in general, because his are so good and so watchable, and they make the songs even better and more fun.
And they make you want to laugh and cry.
Yes, telling these stories, flying around, sexy fucking dudes everywhere.
Yep.
Ugh. Yeah, yes. I mean, I couldn't even pick a favorite if I had to try, if you forced me to.
Nope.
Thank you, Lil Nas.
Thanks,
thank you,
man.
The world needed you right at this moment.
I'm your mom.
I'm glad Sadie's your mom. You did a good job raising that one.
I did good. I did really good.
Yeah, and he was like a TikTok star too, wasn't he? He was like a TikTok guy.
I have no idea.
I'm almost 100% sure. It's either TikTok or YouTube, but I'm almost 100% sure he like won some TikTok.
Probably.
Challenge or like something, but he came from fucking TikTok.
Yeah, he doesn't even tell me these things because I'm his mom.
It's like, Mom, what are you doing in there with the video, Nas? Little Nas
X, Mom, close my door. You gotta knock first.
Are you making a country song, Mom? Go.
We love you guys.
We love you so much. Go. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, we will. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.